So good evening, or good morning, or good afternoon, depending on where you are, or good tomorrow. Welcome to Life Coach Training for the October 2015 group. It is November the 16th today. This is Coach the Coach, Practicum 1, Class 2. My name's Bev Barnes, and we are with the fabulous Fs. So welcome, everybody. I'm glad you made it back to class, and it's really nice to talk to you again. What we're going to do tonight is I am going to spend the first little time answering your questions. So I know that some of you posted questions on the forum that I didn't get an opportunity to answer. And so there might be things that you watched or questions that you had about the videos that you watched or the recordings that you heard about the body compass. So I'd like to spend the first little while answering those questions. Excuse me. And then after that, what we're going to do is do a mini grounding meditation like we did last week, but short. And then we will start coaching. And so tonight, what will happen is that the coaches who are coaching are going to calibrate the body compass of somebody, the person that they're coaching. What you'll be doing is you'll be using the shorter form of the body compass. What that means is not going through all that Martha did in every, starting at the toes to the top of the head, but more you will be picking out a bad situation, asking the person to imagine all the sensory aspects of that, and then asking them where they feel, what they feel physically in their bodies when they're remembering that. So you don't have to go through all the pieces of the body, but you're going to be doing the body compass and calibrating it anyways, and calibrating from, minus 10 to plus 10 and getting the words of the physical sensations in the person's body. So you'll be doing that for the negative and the positive. And then you'll be looking at asking the person about their to-do list and going through really coaching them around the item on their to-do list that is the most negative. So when you do that, it's just like finding the area of your life that's least satisfying. The item that the body says is the most negative is where you'll be coaching around. And in the coaching, what you're really doing is trying to do exactly what we've been doing in the first class, looking at what's going on, finding limiting beliefs, and maybe, I know if you've watched Martha's demo, what you saw her do was really sort of help Abigail to better the situation. You might move to helping the person better it, but we're really just sort of doing the same thing as we have been doing in the past, which is looking at finding what's going on, the story the person's telling themselves, what is making that activity or the thing that they have to do so negative. So it's coaching like we always have done, just using the body compass to jump into it. So that's what we're going to be doing tonight. So what I'd like to do right away is just to open it up to you for your questions. And I know there's been some questions on the forum, the discussion forum, so I'm going to open it up to you and see if I can answer your questions. And I'm just taking a look here to see who asked questions.
Bev, this is Kathy. While you're looking, you asked us
sure.
last week to email you if we weren't going to be able to attend a class. And I'm wondering, what email do you want us to email you to?
Okay. Well, I think I'm listed under BarnesBev@gmail in the class forums. You can email me at that address. And you can also email me at bev@marthabeck.com. Either one, it's fine. But BarnesBev@gmail is perfect.
Great, thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Hey, Bev, it's Amy. I have a quick question.
Yeah, go ahead, Amy.
Well, I don't know how quick it'll be, but I'll try to keep it short.
yeah, okay.
So one thing I noticed in the practicing, I practiced, with a couple different people, namely the study group last week after our first Coach the Coach, and I don't know if there's a right or wrong way to do this, but sometimes I feel like I'm, when I give my hunch, Uh-huh. I'm like going right for the boom. Like there's, are you supposed to kind of delicately kind of weave your way in, or if you feel it and you think it, just say it? Like, what, is there a better way to be? I don't know.
Well, how does it feel for you? Like, so what's what have been the, sort of the response you're getting? What's happening?
It I mean, the response
like
that I think it's more me to be that way. To just, I'm not one to, I guess we'll call it pussyfoot around. Like, if I hear something, I'm just going to be like, it's my personality to just kind of call it out. And it's interesting because some of the response that I got was, yeah, or nobody's gone there before. So it kind of, it kind of felt good to know that maybe I did touch on something that was new, or, you know, maybe, you know, had more, you know, was more covered, and we kind of like brought light to it or whatever. But I was just, it was something I was thinking about after the fact where I was like, eek, should I have maybe not gone so hard with that initial hunch? Should I have been
Yeah, it's kind of interesting.
I guess it depends on the client.
It very much does, and it sort of depends on, it's interesting because what this is it's like we're cutting through all a lot of the social conventions, you know, this is blah, blah, we talk about this, we go around there, we go around, and in this coaching relationship, you sort of really pretty quickly throwing out your hunches if you get them. So, but what I think is important, however, is that you build a relationship with the person that you're coaching.
Mm-hmm.
So initially, you know, there are some people who you throw out a hunch and they don't feel safe. They're not going to say anything about, they're not going to talk about it, and later on they'll come back and it will be, they'll be more comfortable and then they can talk about it. So you might see that happen. If you're coaching other cadets, you might just all feel like this is what we're doing, we're jumping in and we're doing this, so it's working well. You're going to see how that works with your real-world clients. What I do is I do say, you know, my hunches, and I try to say it very kindly.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times it's all in the tone. It's not really the
very
words.
Much.
Yeah, it's the tone that you use. And so it's not like you're not looking at this like a detective. Let me see. My hunch is that you really don't love your children. Tell me where I'm wrong.
Right.
No, that's not. No.
Right.
So it's
okay.
All your intent, right? It's all your intent. But,
yeah.
But what it sounds like is you're following your mom, instead you're following your intuition, which is fantastic. That's what you're practicing
here.
Because we're never given permission to do that. And that's you're given permission to do that.
That's so true. Wow. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. So I just found some of the questions. So I see Maura, you had a question. Maura, do you remember what your question was? I have it here.
Yeah, it was something about how questioning our beliefs and our thoughts can be really foreign to some people who've never considered it before. And is there a recommended way to go about introducing that idea, or people might think that that's crazy?
Yeah, well, you're going to see more of that as you get into Coach to Coach 2, because you're going to be doing the, you know, the work and an intro in terms of the beliefs. But one of the things that I say to people who, you know, aren't familiar with this, sometimes, and it really depends, because sometimes you can just start questioning the thoughts and you don't have to introduce it at all. What I say is I talk about the social self and the essential self, and that the essential self speaks through the body, and the body gets, it collects way more information than the analytical mind. And so, I was just talking about the body compass. So, let me just tie that together here. And so what your mind tells you is many things that are actually not your truth. And that's why we question it, because sometimes a lot of the pain that people are feeling is because there's a discrepancy between what they're telling themselves they should be doing and what their body is feeling that they really want to do. So I might explain it that like that, and say that's why we're looking at, you know, the stories that you have that you're telling them yourself that are causing pain, and you can And that's what why we're looking at that, and we're finding out what you're feeling pain about when we check in with your body. So something like that. But what you will do, Maura, is my suggestion is that you prepare something. Like you sit down and you say, okay, how do I want to explain this, and practice it.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's your intro into how am I going to explain this, particularly for your people that are questioning. It's not going to be with everybody, but it's going to be with some. And I know when I first started coaching and I would talk to people about this, and I had clients, I had a lot of male clients, not to say that it's just, that this happens with male clients, but I remember a specific male client, and every time I picked out a thought, he looked at me and he would be like, but that's true. That's true. And I was like, oh, God. I had to find a way to explain, and then I actually had to coach him in a different way because he was not ready to take a look at those, where he was limiting himself with his thoughts. Later on, months and months and months later, I coached him again. He did some reading, and then he thought, okay, I can go there now.
I see. That's good advice.
Yeah, you're welcome. And I think, Patricia, you had some questions. You posted... I did notice a question that you posted on the Ask Deb and Abigail forum.
Oh, yeah. I asked about, it basically interrupting people.
Yeah,
or interrupting. Not necessarily in a negative way, but
gotcha.
To get not to circle around, or you notice something and it's one of those cues. Like they're saying shoulds or, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
How and when is it appropriate to interrupt and stop the process?
Whenever you think that it's appropriate, whenever your body says, I need to, she's moving, my client is moving off track and that I need to interrupt them and move them back. Because you know how what happens is people start out something and then they talk themselves out of it if you let them talk too long. And you'll see, because some clients do that, right? So you get to know who your people are and you interrupt them, knowing. And you're really guiding, let's get back to this. Or you interrupt them in the middle of the sentence. When you listen to different people coach, if you listen to Martha coach, she interrupts all the time. because you want to keep the person that you're coaching on track, and sort of not to lose the thread. I don't have a this is what you do and when you interrupt and how you interrupt. I'd say you listen to your body, you follow your marmoset, and in general, you kind of, have you had that experience yet, Patricia, where you know somebody is going off track and I can bring them back? Yeah.
Yeah, and everything I've tried to do.
Has it worked?
I've had a really hard time to do that interruption because I didn't know, if I really should. And sometimes people go fast enough that I'm losing how I can intercept. So, it's like I get an idea and then they're already, the next three or four sentences along, so it kind of moves fast.
Yeah. So just a question. So why aren't you interrupting when you know, gee, I better interrupt? Why aren't you interrupting?
I guess it depends on the person. I guess I'm holding myself back a little bit because I tend to be someone that feels very free about interrupting people.
Okay, so you're trying to be nice. You say you're
trying to moderate.
You're trying to moderate. Okay. All right. So let me just tell you, stop doing that. Stop doing that. Try it out. Try following what you really feel. This is where I need to go. This is what we need to do. Try it out. See what happens. Because what you want to do is to develop a comfort for it. And sometimes somebody's talking and you kind of lay back and listen to them talk. But if I do that and I lay back and listen to them talk, I am not following them down that rabbit hole. I will go back when they finish talking to the issue at hand. So my suggestion is don't hesitate about interrupting when you have a sense, when you have a marmoset that you're going off track and you need to bring them back. And I think people kind of want and need that. They want and need that they know that you're following something that they have a tendency to overrun. And I've had clients that say, hey, you know, it's okay when you stop me because I can go on.
Mm-hmm.
So I would try it out. Try it out, Patricia. We don't have, like, guidelines on when to interrupt. And listen to some of the coaches coaching, and you'll see. People interrupt all the time, all the time, all the time. If not, you're just sitting there twiddling your thumbs.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Could I,
you know, not all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me?
Oh, sorry. I thought I thought you had finished, and I wanted to just quickly ask you before you go on to the next question, where the case discussions are.
Case discussions, like talking about what's happening with your clients?
Yeah, because you answered an email from me and said put that in the case discussions forum, and I can't find that.
Oh, it was a typo. Class discussions.
Oh, well.
I was like, oh, we have case discussions. That's a cool idea. Yeah, no, class discussions. All of the stuff
okay.
that comes up with your coaching, it's this thread, your coach-to-coach thread. This thread, this is where you can really specifically ask the questions about what's going on with your coaching and, you know, stuff that's come up that you're curious about or that hasn't worked. And you can either write it on the this discussion thread or ask it in class.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome. So more questions or, you know, comments. How did it go for you last week? I'd love to hear as you were coaching, you know, anything that really worked well and anything that sort of was a big major flop. Love to hear about it.
Hey, Beth, this is Maura.
Hi, Maura.
So I kind of inadvertently coached my son who was spending the afternoon with me, and it was good, but we have a lot of emotional baggage, and although it turned out good, the coaching tools sort of opened up the floodgates to a lot of emotional issues.
Mm-hmm.
And we were able to talk through them, which was great. But at the end, he said, you know, as a life coach, you shouldn't go into people's pain like that. It's too much. And I could see what he meant. I explained the difference between a therapist and a life coach, but I could see what he meant. He felt kind of overwhelmed with emotion, and I think he thought that life coaching was something else. So if you have a client who's sort of overcome with pain and freaks out, do you think that you refer them to a therapist at that point? Or I guess
Great question, because this one's a really hard one to answer. How old's your son, Moore, just for curiosity?
He's 28 now.
Okay, so he's an adult. Okay,
yeah.
So thing to remember is you did the first coach-to-coach class. You've had one how to coach class when you coach
them.
Okay? So
yeah.
That's why right now you're just practicing with him. And so you haven't really learned any of the tools, and you're just getting comfortable playing with them. And these tools do open up emotional issues. You know, we always say, like, life coaching is like a personal trainer for your life, and therapy is different. I forget how we say it, but you know what I'm talking about.
Exposition, yeah.
Right. However, in my experience, it doesn't really happen that way because there's so many clients who say, wow, I got more out of this than I did in seeing my therapist for a long time. So we are actually looking at people's pain, and we are bringing up people's pain, and we are holding a space for them to deal with it. That said, at any point where you say, no, this is out of my competency, I cannot do this, this is not something that I can do, yes, you refer that person to the appropriate person. Like if somebody's talking to you and they're talking on and on and on and you're realizing, ooh, your body's going, oh, my God, this is not – this is, I'm out of my area of competency immediately. That, no, I'm sorry, I'm just not qualified to work with this, but I'd love to help you find the best person for you to work with. I'm curious about with your son, Maura, how did you feel when this all happened? Were you feeling comfortable, uncomfortable? What was going on for you?
Well, there was a couple of months of lead up to this. I participated in the Integrity Cleanse with Martha.
Okay.
And I was coached by her to look into some of these issues that I had been sort of burying within myself
mm-hmm.
for a long time, but that I was afraid to look at. And so she coached me on that. And I, over a few weeks, I got down to my integrity about it, and I started feeling much more calm and ready to take it on and talk about it with him. So there was a lead up to this point. So I
okay.
was prepared for it. I was prepared for it by Martha and other people in that group. So,
okay.
yeah, it turned out really well, actually.
Oh, that's great. So, yeah, that's what I was curious. I was curious if you were comfortable, if you were thinking, oh, my God, oh, my God. And so I'm glad it turned out well for you. This is the kind of situation, especially in the beginning of the training, that you might want to be supported by a coach or by, you know, one of your coaching colleagues throughout this process. You know, you're doing these things and stepping forward that you're getting, you know, you get someone to talk about to this too after you do it. Even in your coaching group, it really helps.
Yeah, that's a great idea. I'll try to
yeah.
make more connections.
Yeah, absolutely, because this is the stuff. I mean, this is living it to give it. Right now, you are living it to give it. And in a sense, you're sort of using the tools to be more authentic, to be more integrity with your son.
Right, exactly.
Because it doesn't sound... Yeah, it doesn't sound like you're coaching him. Tell me where I'm wrong.
Well, I kind of came about with the coaching words. I said at one point, it looks like your life is going so well. Is there an area where it's not maybe going so well? And then
mm-hmm.
he threw out a few words, and I asked him to tell me more. And so it was the coaching tools that brought out the communication. So in that
yeah.
way, I was coaching him. But on another way, it was just a mother and son kind of confronting our issues in a delicate way. So it was both, really.
Yeah, that's cool. You were using the tools and you were having a necessary conversation with your son. I think that's really cool. Congratulations. Wow. Wow. And yes, if any time you feel this is out of my depth, you say it. This is not, you know, I'm not really, I cannot. You might be uncomfortable dealing with a certain issue, like whatever. It could be, you know, drugs and alcohol. It could be trauma. It could be anything. But it's an issue that you think, no, I'm out of my depth. Let that person know. I'm out of my depth. This is not, you know, my area of specialty. I can help you find someone.
Okay, good. Thank you.
You're welcome. Great questions, you guys. Very, very cool. So is there one last question or comment about how things went for you?
This is Deborah.
Yeah, hi, Deborah.
Hi. So I coached someone. He's a man, and he's worked with business coaches before, and he really wanted to see what life coaching was all about. And he was and remains very open to it, but it was
yeah.
complete novelty for him. And I'm interested because you said you've coached a lot of men. At the end of the session, he actually said it was like a combination of business coaching and therapy. But
yes,
the
exactly.
interesting thing was that he, like I think I would expect many men I know to be like this, it was really a novelty. I did some of the body compass stuff with him, and that was really, I think he found it kind of hard to get to do it, but he really tried, and he's on board with
yeah.
getting there. But he kept saying, or at some point he said, you know, I'm a guy, I don't really think about my feelings. So I explained to him, this isn't about emotions, this is about physical, you know, what's going on with you
physically. Sensations, yeah, in your body.
And went
yeah.
into, yeah, in your body and talked about just, made some sports analogies about, you know, being in pain after a workout or things you feel in your body after you've worked out and tried to get them to connect to it that way. But I just wondered if since you've coached a lot of men, if you'd had experiences like that and if you have any advice about that.
Oh, absolutely. I've had experiences like that. It takes a lot of, it takes education, Really. And so the kind of education, like, you know, when you go in, saying to somebody, you know, when you go into a room and you just sense that people have had not been getting along, they've been having an argument. So you're starting to use, you know, knowing things in your gut when it feels like, ugh. And even in business terms, a lot of the, you know, great leaders always say that they follow their gut all the time. I mean, that's body compass stuff. That's all body compass. So I think it's partially education, terminology. People are, in the corporate world, I find, are open to this. I mean, people want to get coached. They really do. Sometimes you want to use things like the body compass, and you can use the body compass for things around work. So you can say, if you're calibrating somebody's body compass, you can ask them to think about a job that they did that they really hated, and then think about a job that they did that they really loved, and, you know, do the sensations thing. So then you're relating it to a subject that they can talk about. But what I find for, I did a lot of career coaching, and when I started out, and even before I did the Martha Beck life coach training, and what I found was, at the time anyways, the way to help men to get in touch with who they really were, it was the doorway with career. Like, they would say, I'm unhappy with my career, or I want a strategic plan. Like a relatively recent client I had said he wanted a 5-year plan. I kind of laughed and said, yeah, right, we think we were going to do a 5-year plan, because he'd coached with me before. And when we got down to it, what really was going on for him was that he hadn't made peace with moving out of the area that he and his wife had lived for many years, and he wanted to go back there, and it had nothing to do with his work. So for men, often it's just this doorway through the career and using those terms, but that's where the establishing a relationship, recognizing that it's a safe spot. Men want to do all the things that women want to do. And they're just often not used to doing those things. So sometimes it just takes a bit more explanation.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
and practice.
You.
Yeah, you're going to practice with this, Deborah, and see what works and what terminology works. And, you know, that's why the whole thing is, keep trying it out and see how he responds. He's probably going to surprise you and come back to you and say, this was really amazing.
Yeah, well, he's already a little further along than his career. I mean, we talked about family stuff and mm-hmm. stuff about his wife and things like that, that I was really happy that you were going to talk about.
Yeah. Men often, they just open the floodgates because they really want to talk. They just don't have anyone to talk to this.
Right,
about.
Yeah, it felt exactly like that.
Yeah, everything. That's cool. Thanks, Deborah.
Thank you.
All right, so what we'll do is we'll just do a grounding exercise, and it will be brief, and then we will just start the coaching. So put your feet flat on the ground and close your eyes and take a deep belly breath. And you might want to put your hand on your stomach so that you can, when you inhale, you feel your stomach rise. And when you exhale, you feel your stomach fall. So you breathe in, your stomach rises, and exhale, your stomach falls. And just continue taking a few deep belly breaths. And as you're doing that, just check in with your body and notice if there are any places where there are tension or pain. And as you are breathing, breathe into those places. And let the oxygen, as you breathe in, go to the tips of your fingers and the top of your head and the tips of your toes. Now place your attention on the bottoms of your feet. You might feel a little tingling or heat at the bottoms of your feet, the arches of your feet. And imagine two grounding cords that come out of the bottoms of your feet, and they're kind of like roots. They grow down into the earth, and they move through the rocks and down to the center of the earth. And the roots, they connect to the earth. So you are planted and grounded. And it feels safe. You're being held by the earth. And just enjoy that sensation for a minute. You can just let go and feel like you're held by the earth. And now imagine another grounding cord that comes from the bottom of your spinal column, your coccyx, six, and it goes straight down into the earth. This is another grounding cord that's really also like a root. Goes through all the layers of the earth, down to the center of the earth, and that grounds the upper part of your body. So you're feeling very secure at this moment. And now, once again, focus on your breathing and where you're sitting in the chair, if you're sitting in a chair. And when you're ready, open your eyes and come back to the room. Cool. All right, so we're going to start out with Laura, and Laura's going to be coaching Maura.
Hello.
And so, Laura, do you have any questions about what you need to do? Are you're okay with that?
I think I'm okay with it. Yeah, just
perfect.
Interrupted from going down the wrong road, or
we'll do. With Body Compass, I interrupt a lot because it's easy to, especially if you haven't done it before.
And should we go through the process of actually introducing Body Compass to, like, would I explain that to Maura right now?
No.
Go into the whole.
No. We're just going to assume that we all know because we've all read it. We all know what it is. And so what you're doing with her is you're calibrating her Body Compass, and you're not doing the really long version that Martha did. You're really just focusing in on the spots in her body. And I'll interrupt. I will definitely interrupt, so don't worry about it.
Cool.
Okay. Maura, are you there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, perfect. Go ahead, Laura.
Okay, so Maura, close your eyes.
Okay.
And breathe deeply and relax. And I'd like you to think about first of all, let me tell you that we're going to take you to a spot in your life where you've experienced some painful feelings, but you won't be held there for a very long time. As you know, we're just trying to calibrate your body compass. So think about a painful experience or an event in your life and what you were feeling at the time.
Okay.
And as you're thinking about this, what are the physical sensations that you're feeling within your body when you think of this painful experience?
So I'm going to jump in. So when you're doing that, even in doing the short form like this, though, you're asking her to think back to a difficult or painful experience in your life. Mm-hmm. And what you want to do is still create the sensory aspect of that. So ask her, you know, to remember where she was, what she could hear, smell, who she was with, those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
And then ask her to check into her body to notice the sensations. So you start with just getting her into the sensory aspects of that.
Okay. And I don't need to know what the experience was.
No. No, you don't. And I actually never ask. Sometimes people volunteer because I want them, and I tell them that I'm not going to ask you what it is because I want them to recognize that They don't have to relive it. They don't have to. Then we're not going to then dig it up and talk about it. And sometimes they want to share it, but you know, at least it helps them to feel a little bit safer.
Okay. So Maura, and thank you for your patience in dealing through this. As you're thinking about this experience, if you think back to place yourself within that experience and think back to who you were with, if you were with somebody, and think about what you could hear around you. What were the sounds that you could hear? Was it daytime? Was it nighttime? Mm-hmm. Was it hot? Was it cold? Were you inside or outside? Like, really place yourself back in that place, as if you were could snap your finger and you could be there right now, right at this moment. And
Yuck.
So tell me more about the yuck.
Just remember, another hard time, and I can feel my stomach knot up, like nausea.
Okay.
And also, I feel like a kind of a rapid heartbeat, like I'm getting ready to fight or flight kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly it's my stomach, yeah, just sort of knotted up and nauseous.
Okay.
Now you want to know the number between minus 10 and plus 10?
Yes. I'm looking at my I've got all this written down my nose. It's like, where am I? Okay. So you're feeling your stomach is in nauseous. You're feeling nauseous and your heart is beating rapidly. If you had to apply a score of minus 10, which is the worst possible feeling, to zero, which is neutral, what score would you apply to the feeling that you have right now?
So always give the scale from minus 10 to plus 10, either for both the negative and the positive.
Okay.
Yeah,
because
sometimes
10.
People, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, minus 10, which is the worst, to positive 10 or plus 10, which would be the best possible feeling.
Okay. I guess in the grand scale of things, I think I'd give it a minus 9. Pretty bad.
That's pretty powerful.
Yeah.
Okay.
So what you want to do after this, when the person is there, then ask them to shake it off. So when you're done, shake it off, that she physically shakes. And I often shake with the person just because I'm doing that right now. I just always have to. So ask her to shake it off, and that when she feels like she's no longer in that space, you're going to start with the positive.
Okay. So Maura, we're going to take you out of that painful place right now, and we're going to ask you to just shake it off. Just literally shake your body and imagine that you're completely shedding this painful experience.
Oh, yeah, that's good. Much better to shake it off.
Yeah. And, you know, just continue to breathe deeply, and we're going to take you to a completely opposite scale where I'm going to ask you to think about a really wonderful event, something very joyous and very special that's happened in your life. It could be a moment, it could be an event, it's up to you, something that's a wonderful memory. And what were you feeling at the time? Like, can you remember where you were, the details of the experience? Again, if you were with somebody at the time, what you were thinking, what you were feeling.
Yeah.
And how is your body responding to that right now, those really wonderful experiences or memories?
Harder to describe. It feels like sort of a releasing of energy, like an outpouring of energy, expansiveness in my torso.
Okay.
Like solar plexus area, just an uplifted sort of releasing of energy. Hard to define in words.
Okay. I'm just jotting this down for my own reference. So you mentioned that you're feeling the energy in your torso and in your solar plexus. Is there anything else associated with that? Is there anywhere else in your body that's responding to the positive memories?
I'm kind of feeling tingly all over, a lot of energy flowing through, sort of a tingly sensation in my whole body.
Okay. That's very cool. In terms of a score, if you had to apply that same score of a minus 10 being the worst possible and plus 10 being the best, what kind of score would you give these sensations that you're feeling?
This whole scoring thing is new for me, but I put it a positive 7.5.
Okay, positive 7.5. Cool. Okay, so you can open your eyes if they're not already open.
Okay.
And thank you for going down that journey and helping to set your body compass. So I would love
Thank you, Laura. Good job.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
So what you're going to do now, Laura, is you want to have her look at three things on her to-do list and do the same thing, like score them to see where what how they feel in her body. And you're going to pick the thing that has the lowest score, that feels the worst,
mm-hmm.
and coach her around that. So what you're going to be doing is using the tools that we've been using in the past. So you're using the body compass really as almost like this is the the area of least satisfaction. So the most negative is the least satisfaction, and you're going to be asking her questions and using some of the tools that we've used up to now to figure out what's going on for her.
Okay, so Maura, three things on your to-do list.
Okay. It's not very exciting, but I have a doctor's appointment tomorrow, and I have to this tomorrow or the next day. And also, my dog found a way to escape out of the backyard, so I have to figure out how she did it and fix it.
I'm sorry, your dog, I missed that last one?
She found a way to get out of the yard, so I have to be a detective and figure out how she did it and fix the fence, I guess.
Oh, gosh. Okay, so how did the dog escape? What's your dog's name?
I have two, Georgia and Ricky. They're both German Shepherds.
Okay. Was it one or both that escaped?
Just one. I'm sure she went after a squirrel or something.
Okay. And when you think about these three items on your to-do list, if you had to apply a score using that same minus 10 to plus 10 score, how would you score these? How would you rank these items on your
list? Okay, so I'm just going to jump in. So the way to do this is take each one separately. So you have a doctor's appointment tomorrow. Imagine yourself in the doctor's appointment and just bring yourself there. And when you imagine yourself doing that, going to the doctor tomorrow, how does it feel in your body? What are the sensations you get? What score would you give it? So do that with each of the things so that she gets through each of them, and then you'll see which one's the most negative.
Okay. So the doctor's appointment, Maura, that you have tomorrow, if you imagine yourself waiting in the doctor's waiting room or waiting area, what are you feeling while you're waiting for the doctor to call your name? What is your body doing?
I have some apprehension and tightening. I feel immediately. So if I'm going to score it, I'd say I give it a negative 4.
Okay. And if we turn to the next item on your to-do list, paying bills tomorrow or the next day, you'd mentioned, is that, do you do like home, like wherever it is that you're sitting down to pay bills, how do you feel about that? What happens when you, at the thought of having to pay those bills?
Well, I'm kind of a procrastinator, but actually once I finally get down to doing it, I feel pretty good about taking care of my life, you know, so I'll give it a positive 1.
Positive 1, okay. I absolutely empathize because I do the same. I'm a procrastinator. I pay the bills on time, but, you know, yeah, somehow the pile, it just piles up until it gets done.
Yeah.
And then your dogs are finding a way out of the fence, and you're having to figure out a solution to that. How are you feeling? How's your body responding to that when you know that your dogs are getting out, possibly chasing squirrels?
Well, I love my dogs, and I like my house. I worry about her getting out, but as long as I fix this, it's not going to be a problem. So that's not a big deal. I think I like taking care of my house and my place, so I'll give it a positive. Bless you.
Thank you.
Okay, so it's clear that the doctor's appointment that you have tomorrow is causing the greatest sense of stress when you look at your to-do list.
True.
So can you tell me more about this appointment? Why do you feel apprehension about the doctor's appointment tomorrow?
Okay, well, I had a hand surgery about 10 days ago, and so I have to go in for a post-op appointment, and I'm off of work during this time to recuperate my hand, and I actually don't want to go back to work, and so I'm thinking of how I can make my medical leave stretch out as long as possible, and that feels a little, like, duplicitous. Like, I don't want to lie about my condition, but I want to take advantage of this time off, and so I'm having some, I don't know, my integrity is screaming at me to tell the truth about my hand, but at the same time, I want to do what's best for my life and take this time off so I can make the most of it. So I think going into the office is making me think that I need to lie or stretch the truth so that I can get what I want in the end, and that's making me feel uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. And where can you describe the discomfort that you're feeling in terms of body sensations for me?
It's in the same, I guess I always feel it in my guts, my stomach. Feels nervous again, and it's not as bad as the -9 that I described earlier, but definitely my stomach feels nervous, and my heart starts fluttering again like I'm in some sort of danger, like my body's getting ready to fight or flight.
Mm-hmm. And in terms of, you mentioned some really interesting thoughts around going back to the doctor and what's happening with your hand. I can, you know what, I have to tell you, I do absolutely, I'm empathizing a lot with you tonight because I'm also healing from a very badly broken wrist and hand.
Really? How interesting.
Yeah, I know, it's a lot. It takes a lot for these kinds of injuries to heal up. So you'd mentioned something earlier, and please correct me if I'm wrong, but you mentioned something about you'd have to tell the truth to your employer about what's happening with your hand? Are they not aware of the full story behind your injury?
No, I'm not talking to my employer. It's just my doctor. But the question is, when will I go back to work? And because I want to take off as much as I can.
I'm just wondering, is that one of you two? Is that either you, Laura, or Maura?
I'm in a closed room, and there's no subway or bus near me, so I'm not.
Okay.
Maura,
okay.
You're not muted. Or Maura, maybe you're on the bus right now. Or
no. So it's neither one of you two?
No.
Okay, so somebody who's getting on the subway, can you mute your line? This happened earlier on our other call, and I assumed it was one of the two people talking, so I didn't think. And then everybody's like, we can't hear anything. It's not them. So if you're at the subway, please mute your line. Thank you.
So, Maura, I'm sorry you were saying that. If you could just continue your thought.
Yeah, sure. So I'm not talking to my employer. I'm just talking to my doctor. And the question, the question is, how long will he have me stay out of work? And so I want to go in there and present my surgery as something that will keep me out of work for a little bit longer than maybe he would think so in the beginning. And so I don't know if this is making sense, but I don't want to lie about my hand healing but I also don't want to go back to work right away. Does that make sense?
I'm going to jump in here. I'm jumping in here. This is really interesting.
My marmoset was just going up, but yeah.
Oh, okay, and I'll let your marmoset go off. I'm jumping in here. Okay, so why don't I let you, Laura, just what you there was something, is there something that you have a hunch about that
well,
you were going to?
Yeah, I mean, my hunch really is around this concept of going back to work. I mean, Maura clearly has integrity in terms of, you know, her work ethic. It sounds like that. Anyway, that's what I'm picking up. And you feel guilty if you're away from work and it's not warranted. But yet, there's a desire to stay away from work longer. So my hunch is that if it has nothing to do with the actual healing of the hand, if the hand is actually healing nicely, why do you not want to go back to work? It sounds like it's...
You got it right on the nail, on the head of the nail right there, because that's exactly it. And I don't want to go back to work. I want to quit my job, and it's become a real focal point. And the question is, do I go back to work for a little while and then quit, or do I just quit? Or so all these questions are on my mind, and it all has to do with going to see the doctor. So it's pretty weighted in my head.
Okay, so I'm going to jump in again. So what you're doing is you found out that there was some, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on here, and that, you know, the issues are really whether it's the job, and that the hand is allowing her not to be at the job. So the reason I wanted to jump in is just to say that there are ways you can use the body compass in this kind of thing. So you can present her with different scenarios and ask her how it feels in her body. So you can sort of present her with the scenario like, okay, so imagine you go in and you tell your doctor exactly how your hand is feeling, and that and wait for him to, or him or her to decide, you know, what to do in your case, mm-hmm. and see how that feels. Then you can ask her about the other scenario, saying, hey, it still feels bad and I don't want to go back to work. Or then there's the other scenario, you know what, I think my hand's healing, but I'm having a lot of trouble with this job, and what I'm really trying to do is to stay off my job as long as possible until I figure out what my next moves are. Whatever it is, that you can have her test out various scenarios and check in with her body to really, how does it feel? What is her truth telling her? So what you can use the body compass to help her find is the truth of this situation. What feels like the best course of action for her? That makes sense, Laura and Maura?
For sure.
Yeah. So that's a way to use the body compass in coaching. So it's, you get out of the head completely, and you start to help the person feel into what feels best for them. That's what I wanted to bring up in this scenario, because it seemed like we were going in this direction, and it's just to let you know that that's a way to use the body compass. I'll let you go on for just another minute or so, Laura, and I know we're not going to be able to get to the end of this, Maura, unfortunately, but
okay.
Just go on for another minute or so.
Mm-hmm. So just to pick up on Bev, and thank you, Bev, for your direction. Maura, imagine that you are sitting in front of your doctor and you review what's happening, and your doctor says to you that, you know what, you're ready to go back to work. There's no reason for you to be off any longer. How does your body react to that? What are the feelings that are coming up when you hear that from your doctor?
A lot of negative feelings, like almost a panic. I don't think that's going to happen, but if it did, I would be in a flurry of what to do. So it's a huge negative, like a negative five. I don't want to do that.
Okay. And conversely, if you sat down and. Because I have a hunch that you don't want to go back to work, and it has nothing to do with the rest. that there's something further that we can explore here, tell me where I'm wrong.
No, you're absolutely right.
So if your doctor says, you know, you could be off for a couple more weeks, we could arrange that you could be off for a couple more weeks, how would your body feel?
A sense of relief, and that's probably what is going to happen. I think that's what the plan is anyway, but definitely a sense of relief. I'm still in a really uncertain place, so it's hard to feel positive about it, but that's the way I'm planning for or hoping for it to go, so I give it a positive too.
All right, so I'm going to just jump in, and we're sort of finishing off this one. I just want to talk about it a bit. So just in sort of presenting those scenarios, Laura, the way to present them, I would suggest, is that in ways that she, Maura, can actually act on them. Because this was all in response to what her doctor says. How would she feel in response to what her doctor says? And I think she's been going around her head in this for a lot. Oh, what happens? What happens? What's going to happen? What's going to happen? What's going to happen if I have to go back to work? That's what's happening. What's going to happen?
Yeah.
And so what you're looking at is you're looking at, and she said something that was my marmoset went off about being out of integrity, feeling duplicitous. Mm-hmm. I would follow that thread. Why? My integrity tells me what to do about it, is what she said. I feel this duplicitous of blah, blah, blah. So she's telling herself something about that she has to be, she can't tell the truth. So there's some stuff to tease apart in there, what's going on, what she's telling herself. And then there's some things to try out to about what her body feels like if she presents this way or that way, or if she presents honestly with her doctor. I don't know what the scenario of my hand is. What I do know is that this job and me do not fit. And so what I'm hoping is that I have more time to figure out what to do. You know, so there's all kinds of different scenarios in this whole thing, but there's just different ways to present it. Does that make sense, Laura?
It does, yes.
Yeah. And Maura, does that make sense to you?
Yeah, that's exactly what's going on, and you hit it on the head.
Yeah. So, Maura, can you give Laura a little bit of feedback on what it was like, her coaching was like with you?
Oh, it was really good, Laura. I really appreciate your empathetic words, and you made me feel really comfortable talking to you and telling the truth about something that doesn't feel like something I'm proud of. But anyway. Like Beth said, I think it would have been a little bit more useful to talk about whatever action I could take instead of reacting to the doctor. I think that was right on. But other than that, I think it was super helpful. So thank you, Laura.
You're welcome.
How was that for you, Laura?
It's interesting. I mean, there are so many things that I heard because I do remember Maura mentioning, I wrote down about being duplicitous or out of it. Not, I didn't write down the duplicitous because I can't write fast enough yet. but out of integrity really struck me because I get that totally. And it's like I wish that I had more time with Maura to explore further on these different elements.
There's the issue. There's more time. This is something that needs more follow-up, more time. So, Maura, I would suggest that either you continue to get coached on this if you want to, or bring it up with your group, or continue on with Laura. There's more to say about this. And interestingly enough, there was let me just give you some feedback, Laura. I thought you did a really good job in you have a very safe, it feels safe with you. It feels like you're really listening. It feels like you're really following and asking those questions. And you know, the directions I gave you, those were fine. That's just to help you keep on track and move you closer to where your client, Maura, could actually act. and you really, you it felt very safe. That's the way it felt for me, and it felt like you were really curious and questioning and there with her. I thought you did a really good job.
Thank you.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, that's great. So the point I wanted to make, too, about this thing that Maura said, I'm, like, really curious because she's talking about this duplicitous, and I'm not, then she just said, why, I'm not proud that. And my hunch is that she's not proud that she wants out of her job. That's my hunch. I would want to talk about it with her, and maybe that's not so, because there's this whole thing about, I'm sensing this shame about this, and I'm really curious. So there's just more marmoset going on. Anybody else having that kind of marmoset about Maura and this?
Does that fall under the whole concept of just a quick comment on that it's quite common for us, for people in general, to identify themselves with their job?
Oh God, yes.
So if you do that for such a, if you work at something, and then all of a sudden one day you wake up and you think, I don't want to do this anymore, you know.
Yes.
I suspect a lot of us are in that same boat within this particular course, because we're here, you know, whether we want to move on and become coaches, or you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's got to be a
yep.
lot of change happening in this room. So
absolutely.
And it's hard. It's not easy to walk away from something you've done for a long time. So I know I've grappled with it for a long time too. So is it to do with that, like the whole identifying yourself with a job, basically?
That's your hunch. That might be. That was my question. I was kind of curious about that. Anybody else have sort of a marmoset, hunch around what's going on with Maura?
It's Amy. Oh.
Yeah, go ahead. I know there's a couple people. I heard Amy. Go ahead, Amy.
All right, thanks, Deb. So what's been interesting for me so far in this journey is that the people I've been speaking with, we all have such similar stories. And
yes.
What's happening with me, so much is bubbling up to the surface. And
right.
Maura, with your situation, I had this like identical situation several months ago. I was out of work for a medical condition, and I did not want to go back. And so what I did, and at the time I was working with a master coach, so I've kind of been through this, and, you know, I did the body compass, and, I was struggling with, okay, you know what, I could probably go back to work, but gosh, I don't want to. Could I get a couple more weeks out of this? So when she was saying that, I was like, oh my God, like this is coming back to me. But the thing is it's so, like, going with that, with the way your body feels and having that thought, okay, I'm going to go to my doctor tomorrow and I'm going to ask for more time, regardless of how the wrist feels. I'm going to ask for more time, and sitting with that and seeing how that feels. And if that's on the plus side, then that's your integrity. That's the way I see it. Tell me where I'm wrong.
Great point. That's a great point. Way to go. I love that. That's a great suggestion. So I'm not going to let Maura respond, really. Like, those are just things to think about because we want to continue coaching. But I want to find out any other marmosets. Anybody else? We had somebody else at the same time who had something to say. When?
Yeah, this is Sai.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I could really sense that she was really conflicted because she wanted to do the right thing because integrity is important to her. So inside, she feels really, you know, really bad, nauseous and all that feeling going on because I want to do the right thing. I don't want to lie or stretch the truth. But there's also this feeling of, I don't want to go back to work. And so my hunch is that she feels trapped. She feels that the only way for me to stay away from this job that I want to quit and I want to leave is for me to, to stretch the truth a lie, but which I don't want to do. So that's my hunch.
That's kind of cool. And I like the way you said the right thing, which you know, made me sort of riff on that. Like, what's the right thing? The right thing for
my
arm, the right thing for me, the right thing for my boss,
yeah.
Right thing for what? My, you know, what is my deepest truth about what is right for me? anyways, those are the questions. So we don't have the answers, but Maura, we gave you some questions.
Well, thank you. It's a lot to think about.
Good. Thank you for sharing that. I love the fact that, you know, we had a couple of people who've had the same scenario. So
I know,
it's
really amazing.
It is amazing. It's amazing. Okay, so we're going to do Kathy.
It's Diane.
Sorry.
It's Diane from Sri Lanka.
Okay, Diane.
Can I say something too? Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you perfectly.
Oh, great. I would just like to say with Maura, what came up for me was that I would be interested in her going into her body and getting in touch with what would she actually do with this time if the doctor said, fine, let's stretch this out another couple of weeks. What would she actually see herself doing in that situation?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's kind of interesting too. Excuse me. It's,
I know we can't do this with Maura now, but if perhaps she might find that, well, there isn't really anything I'd be doing. I really am just putting off, you know, deciding that I don't want to go back to this job, and that's it. And there's not actually very much happening with the extra time.
Oh, there's a lot happening. I could find a whole host of things to do, believe me.
I had a hunch that that was true.
Tell me where I'm wrong. Yeah.
So there's a tell me where I'm wrong. So in that scenario, that might be something you would ask, but I would probably want to ask about the right here and now distress that she's under before what would happen if you didn't, which doesn't mean it wouldn't be asked. Yeah, and as she said, she's got lots that she can figure out to do. So with a tell me where I'm wrong, that would just say, okay, well, I'll move on to something else then. But great, great hunch. Thanks for throwing that out, Diane.
Thanks.
So we're going to move on to Kathy coaching Amy. And Kathy, you can do the same thing. We're going to go through the body compass and then the to-do list.
Okay. I have an advantage having just heard it, so
yeah,
wonderful. Hi.
Yeah,
Amy.
I love the second child advantage. That's what I always call it. I was the second child.
Hi, Amy. Are you there?
Hi, Kathy. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
Good.
So let's start by just taking a deep breath and just letting your body relax. And then one more deep breath, deep down into your belly. And I'm going to start out by asking you to recall something negative. But then I want you to know that I'm going to move right into recalling something really positive. So no need to worry. I'm not going to leave you in that negative place, okay?
Okay.
So I want you to think of a negative or difficult or really uncomfortable memory from your life. Not anything really traumatic, but something that really wasn't working for you or that you definitely don't want to repeat. And you don't need to tell me what it is, but tell me when you have it in mind.
Oh, I have it.
Okay. So now I want you to go into it a little bit more and make it as real as possible, bringing to mind what it looked like and sounded like and maybe even what it smelled like or tasted like or felt like. Do you have that really in mind now?
Yep.
Okay. So now I want you to take a moment and check in with your body and notice where you're feeling physical sensations.
Definitely in my stomach. My tummy area, just nauseous, really nauseous.
Okay. Anything else? Anything else?
Yeah, my chest, it's almost like it's very, like I'm breathing very shallow right now. It's like panic in my, like my shoulders, like I'm hunched over. Like they're crunchy. If that makes sense.
All right. stomach nauseous, high, shallow breathing, and you're hunched over.
Yeah.
So if you're going to rate those physical sensations, the ones that you're experiencing by calling up something really negative, on a scale of minus 10 to plus 10, with 10 being the most uncomfortable imaginable and plus 10 being the most comfortable imaginable, where would you rate these particular physical sensations that you're feeling now in response to that negative scene?
This is probably about a negative 8.
Negative 8, okay. Thanks. So now what I want you to do is I want you to just shake off all those negative sensations. I mean, I want you to literally get up and shake them off like a dog shaking off water. Shake your hands and your feet. Shake it all off. And let
I'm shaking it off.
Perfect. Let me know when it feels like your body's back to neutral.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now I want you to take another deep cleansing breath. And now I want you to do just the opposite. I want you to think about or remember something really wonderful, something really juicy, a great time, a peak experience, something really positive, the best thing you can remember. And let me know now when you have that in mind.
Mm-hmm. I'm there.
You're there? Good. And now, again, I want you to make it as real as possible, remembering what it looked like and sounded like and smelled like and tasted like.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so now I want you to once again take a moment to check in with your body and notice where you're feeling the physical sensations this time.
It's so interesting doing this. Like my shoulders are back. Like I have a smile. Like I'm smiling to my face. There's no nausea left. I have a smile on my face, and my eyes are tearing up. It was like a really beautiful moment that I was thinking of. So it's like tears of joy. It's like joy.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so the joy in your body feels like your shoulders are back, your mouth is smiling, your stomach feels calm and happy.
Mm-hmm. It's like free.
Free. Ooh, that's a great one. And if you're going to rate these physical sensations, the ones that you're experiencing now by calling up something so wonderful on a scale of 1 to 10, with minus 10 being the worst and plus 10 being the best, where would you rate these particular physical sensations?
This is definitely like a positive 8 or 9. But like, let's call it a positive 8.5.
Positive 8.5. Okay, great. So you've calibrated your body compass. And you can use that to check in. So one of the things that I want to check in with you about is just what you've got coming up on your to-do list. So can you tell me 3 things that you've got coming up on your to-do list?
Yeah. So tomorrow on my to-do list is tomorrow is dedicated to my nonprofit, the nonprofit business I'm working on building with the team here. So lots of stuff there, strategic plan, business plan, all that kind of fun stuff. I have a meeting tomorrow night for another thing that I'm working on, and I desperately, desperately need to clean the house.
Okay. So let's go through those one at a time and just take them through the body compass and see where we come out. So first of all, I want you to imagine you're attending the nonprofit strategic planning meeting tomorrow. So
mm-hmm.
put yourself into that scene like you did before, and let yourself feel into that, being at that nonprofit strategic planning meeting tomorrow. And what's your body telling you about that? What physical sensations are coming up in your body?
I'm feeling a little nauseous.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. I was going to say, not as strong as is the negative side before, but I would, I don't know, I would probably call this like a negative 2.
Negative 2. Okay. Now let's do the same thing with the meeting tomorrow night. You didn't say what it was about, but can you put yourself into that meeting tomorrow night and do the same thing? Feel yourself in that meeting, look around, imagine yourself there, and again, check in with your body, the physical sensations, and see what kind of a score you come up with.
Very interesting, because I didn't when I circled the things on my to-do list, I didn't think it was going to go this way. The meeting tomorrow night is for like a new business venture type thing I'm doing, and it actually feels good. I was kind of dreading it, but as I'm thinking about it and like feeling it, like I'm not feeling any nausea. I'm feeling like kind of excited about it.
Mm-hmm. Nice. And how would you rate that on the scale of
I'm gonna call that positive. Like a 5. We'll go like a 5.
A positive 5?
Yeah.
Okay. And let's take a look at the last piece, the cleaning the house piece. So picture yourself cleaning the house. Feel into that. Take a moment.
Mm-hmm.
And then tell me about the physical sensations in your body and how you'd rate them.
I'm pretty darn close to my negative experience. So I'm like, my shoulders immediately hunched over when you said it. My tummy is flipping. Like, I hate to clean, and I know that. And it's something I dread. So we're going to call that a negative. We're going to call it a negative 6.
A negative 6. Okay.
Yeah.
So I think we've gotten to the piece that we want to work on.
Yeah.
So tell me more about that. Tell me more about the cleaning the house piece.
So this should go down an interesting road. I've for the last 15 years, yeah, about 15 years, I've had a cleaner. I've had a house cleaner. You know, my husband and I both work. At the time, we were working full-time jobs. We always had somebody come and clean the house. And, you know, you heard me mention earlier that I was out on leave for a couple months. Well, my dreams came true at the end of July, and I received a phenomenal package from my employer, and we went our separate ways, but that left us to have to slash a lot of things around the house in terms of, you know, finances, and my cleaning people were one of them. And it's like I put it off so much, so I just hate doing it. I get angry when I do it. I get frustrated. And every time I walk past the house and I see, like, another dust bunny, it reminds me that I have to do it. And it kind of takes me down that rabbit hole of, oh, my God, what did I do? What am I doing? Do I need to go get a new job? You know, no, my husband said everything is okay. I have the space right now. But it kind of, like, brings up all these feelings, all because I know I need to clean the house.
Okay, so I'm curious about some of the different scenarios that might be possible. You just talked about the possibility of going back to work. That's something that we can check in with your body compass. But before we do that, what are some other possible scenarios?
So I have what's called space right now, and it feels amazing, and it feels free, and it's funny because every time I read the binder and every time I'm reading the books, I'm like, yes, this is I know it. I know this is where I'm supposed to be. I know this is what I'm supposed to be doing, and I know that it's the right thing. But and I'm just to give you a little more history, I'm good for about a year. With the package that I received and just, you know, some other stuff, I have the time to get through this course. But there's like I guess we call it the social self, where it's like, oh, my God, did I really just walk away from that salary? And, oh, my God, I lost my cleaning lady. We're not going to be able to spend as much on the holidays this year. Our truck needs some service, and we're not going to. So I kind of like part of me goes to feeling like maybe I shouldn't have left, because it was really a choice that I had with the employer. Maybe I shouldn't have left. Maybe I should have stayed to have all these things, and I'm using finger quotes right now. But that feels really bad. It feels like I'm in this, like, tug of war. Like, that feels really bad to think about going back to a job that I would probably hate just for money, for things, as opposed to following what I believe is my heart and my true passion in doing this. That makes sense. Okay. Did I answer your question?
Yes, you've answered it beautifully. So we've got a couple of things that we can body compass here. One of them's going back to work. One of them's following your heart. What else? Are there any other, anything else in there? Any other options in there?
Going back to where following my heart.
Around? Say it again.
Oh, I was just recapping them in my head. So going back to work, following my heart. I think another option, maybe where this is a very real option, where it's not necessarily like a full-time job, but it's a part-time, where it would allow me still the space to kind of keep pursuing these other things. That could be an option.
So I'm jumping in here, and I'm jumping in because I'm just interested in where we're going on this one. So I want to just talk a little bit over coffee with Kathy about Amy. So Kathy, just tell me a little bit about what you're thinking and, you know, what your process is. What are you thinking about asking and where you think Amy is at with all of this?
So I was trying to stay with, because we're doing Body Compass, I was trying to stay with some scenarios that I could check with her on her Body Compass.
Mm-hmm. So, and you don't have to, because we kind of calibrated the Body Compass. We're now really trying to figure out what's going on, what story she's telling herself.
Okay.
So I'm just asking you, so the scenarios that you're coming up with, what are you thinking? Where are you going? Or is there any place you're going in your head? Or what are you thinking?
I think I'd probably dig in a little bit about she talked about her social self, some of the chatter that her social self was giving her, and I'd probably dig in a little bit there.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be interesting, because so when I'm listening to when she was talking, so she's talking about this, she says she left her job, she has about a year that she's sort of calculated that things can work out, and she's started this nonprofit, or she's working with lots of people in this nonprofit, and every time she looks at her house and it's not clean, bang, it's almost like there's a reflex. I shouldn't have left my job. What am I going to do? So now what you're doing is you're finding solutions for her about that, but that's not the problem. The problem is this story she's telling herself every time she sees a dust bunny. And I just, when she talked about the dust bunnies, I was like, I just laughed. I was thinking, I can see the dust bunny, and every that dust bunny is saying, go back to your job.
It's exactly
so, yeah,
what happened. It's horrible.
Yeah, it's like she's making it mean she's making the dust bunny. One of the questions, it's a great question to ask, which will probably come up a lot also in your next Coach to Coach practicum, block two, is what are you making this circumstance, this situation mean? So if we look at our coaching framework, right, there's a framework for coaching where there's circumstances, then there are thoughts, so it's what you make those circumstances mean, and those thoughts lead to emotions, and those emotions lead to lead to actions. So we can just go through this, Kathy, and it's kind of helpful because sometimes you can help you to sort of place this scenario in kind of a structure so that you can see it. So the circumstances are the things you can't change, the stuff that's happening. So what are Amy's circumstances right now, Kathy?
She left her job. She
yep.
has money for about a year. She
mm-hmm.
doesn't want to go back to work.
Mm-hmm.
She wants to follow her heart with the coaching.
Mm-hmm. And she has dust bunnies.
And she has dust bunnies.
Yeah, every once in a while, because she said that. She said, you know, every time I see a dust bunny. She doesn't have a cleaner anymore. So based on those circumstances, she's left her job. She sees dust every once in a while. She's doing all this stuff. Then she has some thoughts about these circumstances. What are the thoughts? What's your hunch about the thoughts she has about these circumstances?
I can help you out if you want.
Yeah, go right ahead.
I'm probably going to cry, so just, it's okay. I'm fine. I'm a loser. I'm lazy. How can I be doing this?
There, we got it.
Everyone, everyone, you know, people go to work. That's what we do in our society, right? You get your job and you go to work. And what I'm doing is very unconventional, and people just don't get it.
Yeah. That's her pain. That's her pain. Based on those circumstances. And the Dust Bunny is like, immediately, it's like, I'm a loser, I shouldn't do this, I should have a job, I'm lazy. That's the story that's going around in her head. And when she's thinking those thoughts, what are the emotions that she has? She sort of just talked about, you know, she just got emotional and sad. We just all felt the sadness, right? And when she's feeling that sadness, the action that she's going to take is then she's going to do something to find another job maybe, or to go back to work, or to do something like that. And it's all coming from what she's what she's making these circumstances mean. But that's her big lie. That's just the story she's telling herself. And the dust bunnies, I love to use that because it's just so visual. I just love this example. The dust bunnies, just it's like that's what immediately it brings her into, oh, shit, I don't have a cleaner. Why don't I have a cleaner? Because then the story goes, there we go. Because I don't have a job anymore and nobody understands. And that's the story. So we're kind of finding in there her area of dissatisfaction. So what she's saying is, I don't want to, you know, I have these negative feelings about cleaning up my house, and we could have helped her to find ways to clean the house, right, if we were looking at some other kind of coaching. But what we're really looking at is why. And what it is the story she's telling herself about who she should be and what she shouldn't be doing. And so all these thoughts here, I'm a loser, I'm lazy, and an unsaid thought that you didn't say, Amy, which is, I shouldn't have left my job, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's the pain.
Yeah.
That's the pain. And so it's to recognize, right now we're not moving sort of further into the work, but what she could do is to recognize how she responds when she thinks that thought. So it's like, when does that thought come up for her? How does she respond when she thinks that thought? Is thinking that thought leading her closer to her essential self or further away? So it's just ways to play with this at this time, that you're just sort of, it's more kind of inquiry about it, but not really doing the work, just asking her questions about it. That makes sense, Kathy. I know I kind of talked through the coaching part. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Amy, what about you? What are you thinking when I'm talking about you?
No, I mean, absolutely. And just hearing you say, I shouldn't have left my job, I mean, that my stomach is just flipping. You know, it's just a really, it's a bad feeling. So I know that it's like a struggle, and I know that it's the right thing. Everything you said makes total sense. And I have the framework out right now, so I guess I'm frameworking on myself. But it's very
when you, when your stomach flips with that, I shouldn't have left my job. And, you know, you could say where would you give that feeling from minus 10 to plus 10 on your scale when your stomach's flipping as you're thinking?
I shouldn't
have left my job.
It was probably like a negative 3 or 4.
Yeah. So what that is when your body responds that way, when you're telling yourself that kind of thing, you're telling yourself a lie. It's a story you're telling yourself. It's something that your body knows is not true. Because I'm sure if you check in with your body, too, with the thought, I should have left my job.
Or right, when I say I did leave my job.
I chose to leave my job, yeah.
I chose to leave my job. It shackles off all the way. I mean, it feels incredible. It's just where that social stuff starts to come in, and, you know, yeah.
And so that's one of the things. Yeah, and it's for sure. And just starting to notice that oh, that's what's causing me the grief. It's not the dust bunnies. It's what I'm telling myself. And when you change your language, like as Martha mentioned, and I think in one of the videos, in just I chose to, that I chose to really just, it's more personal power in your life, and recognizing that you are actually in control of your life and you're not a victim to it. So I chose to leave my job. It's probably something that is a much more powerful way for you to think at this point, and it's probably much more true than I shouldn't have left my job. Tell me where I'm wrong.
No, you're absolutely right, and it's okay to have dust bunnies.
Right, and so when you're thinking I chose to lose my job to leave my job, and you see dust bunnies, what do you feel like doing?
Oh my God, I could just absolutely flip that. When I see the dust bunnies, it's a reminder that I chose to leave my job.
Lovely.
That just
cool.
That was like a light bulb that just went up over my head. Wow.
So thanks for letting us talk about you, Amy. And I wanted to talk through that because I thought it was a really great example to see the framework for coaching and how it fits. And also this was a great example to see why we're not just helping her to feel better about the cleaning. We're trying to help her to figure out what was going on underneath. And you got there, Kathy. You got there with her, and you know, when we talked about it over coffee, we sort of got to, you know, where she needed to go to.
Thank you, Kathy. Thank you so much, because you were like, it felt very, like you said, with Laura feeling very safe. It felt very safe with Kathy, like your voice, everything, just the way you went through that whole process was like a very comfortable feeling.
Thank you. I felt that too. Yeah. How was that for you, Kathy?
Insights. That part was fine, but the insights were all yours, Bev. Honestly, they really were. I don't want to take credit for, honing in, you know, where you did, which was beautiful.
Yeah, but you were very comfortable, great questioning, and you know that's what we're doing here. We're playing with this. We're practicing. The more you do it, the more you see how it all fits together. And it's just starting to think about scenarios from this framework, from, oh, what's going on underneath? What's the story that person's telling themselves that's making them feel horrible, you know, in this scenario? And so you can see it comes up with a to-do list. That was very, very cool. Love that. Thank you both. Thank you, Amy, and thank you, Kathy.
Thank you, Beth, for
sharing that. So, you might want to continue on being coached about this, Amy. You might want to, you know, just sort of write stuff up for you that sort of helps you to remind you of where you want to go. That's your choice. And whenever you're coaching in class, for anybody, it's great to continue on if you need to, or continue on with the person who coached you, or continue on with your coaching partners or group, or, you know, sort of just write up your conclusions and things that make sense for you so that you know that you finish it off for you. So that would be my suggestion. And what we're doing, what you're going to do for homework this week is you are going to do the body compass on a couple of people and the to-dos and make sure that you get the body compass done on you. So you want somebody to calibrate your body compass too. So do the same exercise we've done in class. Then you'll have also some videos and recordings to listen to, because next week we're doing the 5 Whys. And the 5 Whys is a great tool. It gets a little bit tricky. It takes practice just to ask the right why question. But the why question is a great question to ask that leads people to thinking immediately about what their thoughts are. In a situation. And I think you actually did that in this, Kathy. I noticed you asked why with something which was really great. It was getting right down to what she really needed to figure out. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Anyways, never mind. Sorry, my writing's all over the place. I can't remember where it was. So next week's the five wise. Listen to those. And if you – I know we're a bit over time. I just wondered, I didn't get those of you that were listening to ask any questions or make any comments. So why don't I just do that now? Any comments you have or questions you have about that last coaching scenario or something you were dying to ask and didn't get a chance, you can just go ahead right now.
I have a question. This is Sai.
Yeah, go ahead.
I have a question about a hunch.
Yep.
If I get a hunch, like, right off the bat, like, really early as I'm asking questions and exploring, can I just come out and say it, or should I just wait a little bit more to hear more of what the person has to say?
Well, it's up to you. You know, I would suggest some people, they right away are moving into their hunches, and some people wait a little. I find, so I'll just give you a personal answer for this. I find that I get hunches so quickly that I have to stop myself, in a sense. It's like I want to wait because allow the person to speak, right?
Right.
And, you know, maybe it will go a little more differently than I thought. You know, I actually try to hold back a bit because I get a lot of hunches and I get them really quickly. But you're practicing right now, so why don't you just practice throwing out your hunches, see what the response you get is. See whether it works for you, because you're finding what your style is. And we don't usually throw out hunches about anybody in normal, everyday conversation. So why not try it out, even if they come up fast, see what happens.
Okay. Thank you.
My thought. Any other questions?
I have one about, like, just the whole, I don't want to call it the process, because I think if I'm understanding this right, when we start to have clients come to us, it's not, I don't see it as a one session, like a one and done type session. These are people who are going to be working with us over a period of time, right? So, you know, you don't want to, I'm thinking you probably don't want to jam a ton of stuff into the first session, so do you just kind of go with it to feel when you're doing the work or when it's time to do body compage? Like, is there a right time, or you just roll with it?
No, you have to practice. Honestly, it's a great question, because this is the kind of question, because you're thinking about it. And as you start to work with people and you start to work with more and more people, you'll know. But what happens is, and as we go along in the classes, you're learning more and more tools, right? So what you're going to learn is that initially you're finding the area of least satisfaction, you're doing the body compass, and so you'll sort of have a kind of a vague plan for around six sessions. That's what you're going to be looking at. Like, one of your classes is getting started. It's one of the sort of starting out as a coach. I forget what the name of the class is, but you're going to be doing stuff like that. It's really normal, your question right now, because you're sort of trying to see how this all fits together.
Yeah.
Keep practicing. Don't worry about that. It's going to come. As you move forward, it's going to come. And when you're down at, you know, after the end of the second coach to coach, even the end of the second coach to coach, you're going to have a much better idea of where to go. As you move forward in coaching. And by the fourth coach, the coach practicum, you'll have a good sense, because that's when you're going to be playing with all the tools. The fourth coach, the coach practicum, you've learned all the tools, and then you play with them, with your clients, and see what fits and how it fits. But you start to develop a sense of comfort of, oh, okay, this is where I want to go. I want to find the area of dissatisfaction. I want to see what they – I like to find out what they really are looking at, what they want, what they're dissatisfied with, and then what they want. And so I'm kind of working towards those things as I'm uncovering what's in their way, because that's what we're really doing. We're figuring out what's in their way. When we get stuff that's out of their way, then they can see what they want, and then we're helping them to move towards it.
Thank you.
Make sense? Okay.
Yeah,
great.
Totally.
So, Yeah.
Can I ask a quick follow-on to that? This is Patricia.
Yeah, quick.
Just for clarity's sake. So
yes.
One of the questions we had in our group was, if someone comes with a specific question and it's pretty narrow and it's pretty right there on the day-to-day, and yet we see some really deep stuff,
mm-hmm.
do we try to help them with the thing that they said they really wanted to just resolve, or do we start taking this deep dive?
So right now you're practicing, right? So you're practicing, and you're going to probably be sort of straddling two things, what the person wants and what you're practicing. You're actually practicing this style of coaching, which right now you're not sort of saying you coming in with a problem and I'm going to help you fix that problem. That's not what you're really doing. You're trying to figure out what is limiting that person from living their best life. So if you explain it that way, I'm doing Martha Beck coach training, and what we're doing is we are trying to help you find your right life. What will happen is they will come in one session and they'll say, this is bugging me. And you will use these same tools to find out what's in their way and what thought is in their way and what obstacle is there. And what will happen is that same blockage in the thing that's bugging them is usually in some other aspect of their life. Like, we don't usually think one way in one part of our life and not think one way in another part of our life. So they're all going to be related. It's all inevitably going to be related, even though it's not, you can't see it right away. I don't know if I really answered your question.
No, you are. You are sort of. Not completely, but yeah, enough.
Yeah, so, yeah, we're kind of getting there. I would explain this kind of coaching as we're helping you to live your right life. And we're not just, I'm not here sort of saying, what's your problem, and I'll help you get there closer and faster. That's not what we're doing.
Okay.
I think if people know that, then they kind of know what to expect from you. And because they do come in and say, oh, this isn't what I expected. Nope, it's not. I'm not going to set up an organizational plan for you and then be your accountability buddy. That's not what we're doing. That's what a lot of people think coaching is. So you guys did great tonight. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Beth.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You are
you.
Welcome. Have a great week, and we'll talk next week.
Bye.
Take care.
Good night.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Good night.